There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, go ahead. Let's hear it.
George Takei.
How are you?
Hey, how are you? Oh, that's got to be my favorite Asian fudge packer right there. Of course, I don't know of any others. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you live. Live right now. It's November 4th. November 4, 2010. It's approximately 5.02 p.m. on a very weird, warm, global warming kind of November day here in the high country. It's 85 degrees today. May have broken the record of 86. I don't know. I'm running around in shorts and a t-shirt with holes in it in November. Well, I welcome global warming. I think it's great. I love having it here. I love being able to run around. And things are going good. I'm feeling great. Actually, that's not true. I feel sore today. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. But we were out and about today collecting and procuring and distributing, spreading gear around, getting gear donated, getting some ammo, getting lots of food, lots of canned foods. It's 80 right now is all it is? So maybe I'm overreacting. Elise says it was 80.
Saturday.
It'll be 74 on Saturday. Ooh.
And then
69 when?
Sunday.
We're going to freeze, Lou.
No.
We went out and we got some fabric dye for our ponchos. Yes, we did go to the gym today, Oliman. I'm going to give you a report on that. It was actually kind of fun. It's not a gime, Lou. It's gym.
No, learn to read.
It's like gypped. Like gypped. G-Y. G-Y is gym. We went to the gymnasium. Okay, how about this? We went to the health club. Not a gime, Lou. Jeez. Lou.
Oh,
you're really making homeschool look good, aren't you?
Gime for people that could read.
Gime. You know, I didn't realize when you kept saying, what's the gime? What's the gime? And I thought it was some, like, word he was working on, like gymecologist.
Dime.
Dime. I didn't know what he was talking about. Like, gym. No, we went to the gym today, and Stacy and I, Stacy did the treadmill and the, what was that weird torture device you were on?
The ski machine.
It was like almost like a Nordic thing, but you pedaled it and your hands and you went back. It was like some kind of machine that I couldn't get on because I don't have the coordination. And Stacy did that and she burned calories. We only did it for half an hour. It was our first day. I went in and so she did the treadmill. She did that, I don't know what that was, stair stepper.
Elliptical
machine. That's what it was called, an elliptical machine. And what it does, they call it the elliptical machine because if you trip, it tears your lip off. Yeah, it should be the elliptinator or something because I just didn't want to get near it.
Ski machine,
yeah, kind of. But your legs are going around rather than back and forth, so it's not really Nordic track. But you look good on it, and it was fun to watch you. And it was good because, you know, before we went in, I did call the local volunteer ambulance from 30 miles away. I said, you guys might want to stage a little closer. I'm a high-risk candidate, and I'm going to get on some of this machinery. I got on the bicycle that you sit down on. It's like a recliner bike.
I'm proud of you.
And I did that. It was funny to go on the lowest level, you know, just pedaling. I got my heart rate up to 111 beats per minute. Now, in the old days when I used to ride a bike, I used to keep it at 95 RPM, just cruising along on flat surface on a road bike. And my heart would just be like, pitted, pitted. Just fine. It was pathetic. And then, of course, the place is surrounded with mirrors so I could watch my FA, you know, run around the room, my big butt. And it was just like, man, are these like funhouse mirrors? That guy's gigantic. Now, the really sad news is I got they had a scale there, and I'm not going to, Stacy can tell you in the chat room if she wants to talk about how much she is. We decided, we went in, we wrote it down, we said, okay, here are our goals. We want to get to this weight, we want to get to that weight. And we ended up, it's exactly the same amount that we both need to lose for our target weights. The scale only goes to 250 pounds. It's an old, like scale at a fruit stand where you put your potatoes on, and not the one that hangs from the ceiling, but the big metal one on the floor. And I maxed it out, so I don't know what I weigh. I'm 250 plus, so I'm gonna guess that I'm about 270, to be, you know, conservative. So that means I gotta lose like 80 pounds. So now Stacy's gonna be way ahead of me because she doesn't need to lose anywhere near that. So I don't know what I weigh. We're gonna have to go somewhere like to a. Well, it's funny. Minuteman was talking to me on the phone earlier where he was helping me out with some stuff. And he says, well, you know, you can always go to a truck stop and use one of the big scales. It's like 15 bucks an axle, and you're only one axle. So I went completely off the scale. And so I don't know. So we wrote down everything we did. I wrote down my heart rate and all that. I did what I did that I really enjoyed was lats. For those of you that don't know what that is, it's where you work on your, I don't even know, lateral muscles, whatever. But you pull the bar down behind your head, in front of your head, you know, down, wide arm, tight arm. I just made my back feel really good. And then, of course, as soon as I got home, Lewis sucker punched me in the left kidney, and I've been in pain ever since. It's funny.
After.
It was, yeah, I just said it was after.
Yeah, it was not that early.
Yeah, well, you still sucker punched me in the kidney, and now I'm peeing blood.
Yeah,
I'm safer at the gym than trying to come home with little Cato here. But my quads, my quadalutinates, or whatever you call these muscles up front, they're really hurting from pedaling that thing. My back feels really good. We both realized it was a really good little energy booster, and it helped us out today. You know, I'm hurting. I'm not going to lie. I'm probably going to be hurting tomorrow, but we're going to go back tomorrow morning, right, Stace?
Yeah.
We didn't get quite in at 8 a.m. We wanted to get at 8 a.m. We got there at like 8:45. Stacy decided to do the dishes because the house smelled funny. So that was a good thing. And so that took a little longer, but we'll get there at 8 o'clock in tomorrow, and we'll just work different muscle groups. I don't know what we're going to do. There was nobody in there at first, and then some people came in and started doing video aerobics. They put on a videotape, and I was watching these older women do this, like, video aerobics, and I'm like, man, I couldn't do that. So it'll be good for peer pressure and motivation, but I'm dedicated to it. I'm going to keep going, and hopefully you guys will suffer along with us. Keep praying for us, you know, so that we don't, you know, fail. Give us that drive to keep doing it. I'm just going to take it slow for about a week. You know, what is this, Thursday? So by next Thursday, I'm going to, you know, then I'll start doing some stuff. I only did, like, on the lat machine, like 25 pounds. I didn't know what my body, I didn't know if I pulled down that lat bar and if my shoulders would come out of socket or what. But I can tell you what, my left shoulder, the one that usually pops out, feels really good today. I don't know if it's psychosomatic. I don't know if it's, what was that thing? What was the thing we saw in the video today? Psychic warrior, what was that? What did the Russians call that?
Beyond the physical.
Yeah, I'm getting beyond the physical. And so it's good. So thank you for asking. And a lot of people called me today, people that have my personal phone number, and were encouraging us, you know, call about other stuff. Say, hey, by the way, did you get to the gym? I'm like, darn tootin' we did. We went to the gym, just 30 minutes, you know. And it was probably 25 minutes of workout. But, you know, me posing in front of the mirror for 15, does that count as a workout?
No.
I was...
Getting
in and out of the car today, I was making sure everybody saw my calves, you know, because they're all worked up right now. I went and bought some baby oil, but Stacy doesn't want to rub it on me and let me go around without a shirt on. She wouldn't, you know, because I'm thinking now that I'm ripped, like Cartman from South Park. Beefcake!
Oh, yeah, don't.
Yeah, Muscle Builder 4000.
Don't
do that. I got some granola bars today, you know, some energy bars, you know, banana flavored energy bars. We'll do that. One thing I did remember, that I forgot about, even when I was skinny, when I was, you know, 145 pounds or 165 pounds, my fighting weight when I was in the Army, I sweat like a dog. And so I got to remember to bring, like a giant beach towel so I don't offend anybody and, like, leave big pools of sweat everywhere on the equipment. But it was a good experience. They don't have a shower there, so we went out into the parking lot and rolled around in the dirt to cool off, and that was fun. But, Lou's shaking his head. Lou's embarrassed. I don't think he wants to go to the gym with us, or the gym. He doesn't want to go to the gym with us. And soon, once I get into better shape, I'll bring Lou and we can do some stuff, especially racquetball. I'm really looking forward to doing some racquetball. I got to get some shoes. If you guys can recommend any kind of athletic shoes. I've always just worn Keds.
They don't have that fighting room.
What?
They don't have that fighting room.
The fighting room. Yeah, Lou's all mad because they don't have the... They had a room that was for, like, martial arts, but they turned it into something else. So we'll just go fight out in the cemetery. It'll be all epic. And Lou and I can fight out on the... Because the ground's always soft at the cemetery because they can't keep it watered year-round. So it's always good. So we'll do that out there. Some of the things we were doing, in continuing with the theme of unarmed self-defense, Louis and I were watching some of these confined space training videos and working out some of the stuff, like sitting at a desk, sitting in your car we didn't get to, in a hallway, and things like that. And it goes to the warrior mindset. Now, we'll probably make those available to you guys. If you guys donate $25 a month, we'll send you copies of different things. And we'll go ahead and violate the FBI warning. Every time the FBI warning comes up, we just go, ooh. But some of the stuff is so important, I just got to get it out to you guys. But confined space fighting is something you got to think about. A lot of us think about it in our car, you know, because that's usually the most dangerous place.
My goodness, yes.
Where we're going to be sitting, where things are going to happen. But in your office, in your workplace, in your church.
It was Sistema,
which is a Russian art. Some of it's a lot of garbage. Like we're talking about the psychic warrior stuff where guys just give you the evil eye and you
really
supposedly
fancy.
Fall down. I don't understand that at all, and I'm not even going to get into that. It just seems of the devil. It's kind of like Manusteric goat stuff.
It's
is what.
Work
it,
on some other guy.
Yeah,
work
it's,
on the guy that believes that
it's only going to work on the guy you've been training with. You tell that if I look at you like this, you will fall down and poop yourself. So I'm not going to get that video, so don't worry about that. But the close quarter fighting stuff is really nice. It reminded me a lot of the stuff I learned from the Guardian Angels when I hung out with them in Southern California.
More fancier.
Put your stuff on the wall. Well, yeah, it was a little dancier, wasn't it? It was kind of prancier, you know, kind of Jean-Claude Van Damme looking stuff. But the meat and potatoes of it I liked. Just the basics of just, like we talked about yesterday, just doing away with the enemy as fast as you can. Breaking the neck. I've done the moves for breaking the neck. Never broken a human neck. I can do it on a bunny. But I wouldn't even try that just because someone that's a dedicated attacker is going to be so tense. I don't know how you're going to do that. But removing an eyeball, crushing a windpipe.
There was a lot of throat strikes.
A lot of throat strikes, yeah. I noticed that. And throat strikes are something that are fun to do in the grocery store, aren't they, Lou? People keep looking at us. First they think I'm abusing him. Then when they see him sneak up behind me and pop me in the throat with a couple fingers, they stop dialing the phone. But it's good to think about these things. Where are you going to be when something happens? I'm not even talking about the New World Order fight. I'm not even talking about the stuff we're going to talk about in the next half hour, you know, about how they're taxing you with this new inflation thing that they're going to stimulate with $1 trillion they're going to print. But the rest of the stuff, when you're just alone, sitting in a movie theater, sitting in your car, you've got to have that mindset. What are you going to do? Think precision. And as we get these videos copied and we watch them more, we'll share more with you. In fact, we may even put a Curly Foo one together that just takes the best of all these. And you can watch Lou and I beat up on each other, you know, in one of the rooms up here. But don't think that just because you're sitting behind a desk and somebody comes in and grabs you, you're done. There's all kinds of fun things you can do. You can use the desk as a fulcrum. And leverage that arm, you know, break that arm, break those fingers, slam their hand in the drawer. Books. I love how this one guy, in several moves, he used just a book. The guy's reading a book, somebody comes up, hassles him, pops him in the throat, pops him in the nose. We got to look up that nerve right underneath the nose. I keep forgetting what it is. Lou's been training himself by striking it constantly, trying to deaden the nerve because I use it on him all the time. If he starts fighting with me, I just reach over and push up underneath his nose, that little the divider between the two bear caves, push up on it. And he's been trying to desensitize himself. He's doing it right now. And you noticed the other day, if you were listening, I was yelling at him because he sits behind me and he flexes. He's trying to deaden the nerves in his wrist and stuff to build his pain tolerance while he's sitting here. I'm not going to gooseneck you again, Lou. Get out of my part of the studio. Move over there. If you want to tweak your own wrist, go ahead, but I'm not going to do it. I only do it when it's fun for me. Although I did make him do an unearthly howl this morning in the house when he attacked me in a hallway.
You attacked me.
I used a Bic pen, kind of a throwback to yesterday's story, and I put it at the base of his skull, grabbed his nose and mouth, covered his nose and mouth, and then pressed the top of the pen right into the base of his skull, and he just screamed. And then he tried to say, I meant to do that. It wasn't hurting. His knees went, well, Lou, honestly, you went completely weak when I did that, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was a great move, and it's just, I don't know why, but now I'm going to carry my pens around more often. Pens, pencils, every little thing helps, folks. So it works out, and Lou's over there typing like mad. Nuts are intelligent. Yeah, I don't know which. We're crazy like foxes, and But we try to train constantly. Stacy's finally gotten over screaming at us, I think. The last few times she just looks at us and shakes her head. So I incorporated, we were in a fabric store today. I had to get some fabric dye. So I just started attacking her. She's like, hey, you just elbowed me. I go, yeah, don't you want to play? She's like, no. Because Lou was hiding behind her. Yeah, don't say where I hit you. But you've got to keep that attitude going, whether you're sitting in church, whether you're relaxed in your recliner. Think about it. You're in your recliner, laid back in your house, and some mongrel kicks in the door. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What's next to you? A lamp? Your cup of coffee? All those kind of things have to come into play. You have to have a warrior attitude 24/7. 24/7. What's today? Thursday? Is it Thursday? Yeah. I found out last night again that somebody who listens to this show decided to call the pastor and complain that I was scary and going to get us all in trouble. I thought I already did this, like deja vu, if I haven't said this yet. The pastor wouldn't tell me who it is, but he says it's someone I know. And if you're listening right now, come on, just tell me.
Yeah.
Don't be a little girl. Email me. I give out my email, dutch@dutchjones.info. dutch@dutchjones.info. We check it twice a day. If you want to debate me, do it, but don't go like a little punk, a little girl behind my back and go to the pastor.
Yes?
Because he tells me. He just says, guess what? He was in his sermon last night. He says, just like, he's talking about the spirit of fear. And he was kind of nice the way he talked about this person, but I could see in his eyes he was, you watch the video when we get it up. And he said, yeah, a friend of the church, someone who knows the church real well, said, man, I've been listening to this Dutch Jones radio show, and it's going to get you guys raided. He's saying some pretty outrageous stuff. And the pastor just looked at him and said, what did the founding fathers talk about? What did they do? They pointed out the stuff. They talked about it. I'm sure people don't like it when I use the word faggot or fudge packer or stuff like that. But that's...
No.
You don't like that, George? George, the Asian fudge packer, you don't like that? Yeah, I'm a bit harsh. That's why I don't do the show on 93.3 FM here anymore. I don't want to reflect poorly on the church, but this is my show. I do it from the facility here. I talk about where I go to church. I use the things that go on in the militia here to promote the proper attitude. If you're a coward and you're afraid, you shouldn't be listening to me. Go listen to Alex Jones. Go listen to CNN. Go listen to Fox. Go down and bow down at your Republican National Committee headquarters and say, oh, we want to do all things nice and feely. I'm about the truth, about the bare bones, and opinionated. I may be wrong a lot. That's okay. My opinion can be completely different from yours, and we can get along with that. But don't be a punk. Don't go behind my back. I'm sick of it. It's happened like 4 times in the last 6 months. People writing letters. Nicholas was the biggest baby of them all, and then some other people from the area. I'm tired of it. Very, very tired of it. Honestly, I'm just it doesn't really bother me enough other than to point out the fact that to poke fun at you. That's why I'm doing it. I don't lose any sleep over it. It's sad that you're that much of a reed in the wind that you're going to bend and not stand firm and strong. This show is for people who want to stand strong. And we're not always going to stand strong 24/7, right? There's going to be somebody catches me by surprise, I might run and cower, and both physically and spiritually and politically and martially. But let me tell you something. My standard reset is always, no, the truth comes first. And we're going to stand up. And they don't like it when I bag on the Republicans either. A lot of what I call Christians in name only. They love the Republican Party, right or wrong. God bless America, right or wrong. The John Wayne Republicans. And I love John Wayne, but it's a good icon for what I'm thinking about. You can't listen to this show. If you can't stomach what I'm talking about, you need to take it down a few notches and go to the Christian buffet and just keep yourself happy at another place. Because I'm not going to stop what I'm doing. I was talking to Stacy today. I was thinking about it. If somebody came in and wanted to syndicate this show and put it out there on, some kind of Patriot network or on real satellite, and they offered me money, would I stop saying the word faggot? I don't know. Maybe I would, but I would make up a word. Yeah, I mean, I might do that. I would moderate my speech to get the message to more people. But in this battleground, I'm not going to moderate my speech. Yeah, crinos. Christians in name only, that's what I call them, crinos. They're frozen in time. Their brains are frozen. They can't think, like cryogenic suspension. I'm going to put my glasses on here. I need some more water. Could I get some more, please? I'm mighty thirsty today. I'm a mighty thirsty lad. So I'm just sharing that with you guys. When you're sharing this show with people and they give you feedback like that, just say, well, then don't listen. If you're afraid, if you live in fear, if you think, I got to get my Facebook dropped down. Where did it go? I switched to something else. Then there's no point in you getting involved in the cause. Just go stash everything that you have in a shed somewhere and wait for them to come and get you. Let's see here. So don't try to moderate my speech. I don't work for the FCC. I don't work for a radio station. This is me. This is our ministry. Dutch Jones is the collection of three or four people. And if this network gets bigger, we're trying to work out a way, like you guys know, that we can do 24/7 broadcasting with other people and stuff. And we're real close to doing it. It's just a matter of getting the donations up on a reasonable expectation there, so we know that we can pay rent. Things are going to get really freaky. Really freaky, because then we're really going to get attacked. Right now, 2 hours a day, you know, the same 1,000 people listening over and over again, you know, it grows a little bit at a time. That's fine. We're not making real important people mad. We're making Christians mad. Think about that concept. My pastor never gets a call from the Southern Poverty Law Center and goes, "Hey, we don't like what you guys are saying." It's other Christians calling him and saying, "You know, you need to stifle that Dutch Jones. That DJ. He shouldn't be doing that." You know what that tells me? That tells me who our enemies really are. Now, if they come to me and they're like out of their good heart, say, "Man, I'm really afraid for you. The stuff you're doing is going to get you caught." I get that a lot. "Stuff that you're doing is going to get you beaten. It's going to get you tortured." Like, well, then so be it. Thanks, Minuteman. I saw that posted in there. Welcome to the club. Who do we have in? We got Florida Dave, Minuteman, Olima, Scotty 38, our rebroadcaster. We've got a guest by the number of 38265er. Thanks for tuning in. And, of course, two Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones' wife, and Warlin. Welcome, welcome. I know Thursdays seem to be a low number. Thursdays and Fridays, people are either tired of hearing all the stuff I've been putting out, or they're getting ready for the weekend, or, you know, I don't know what it is, but Thursday seems low. Last 2 days, I've had a lot of people listening. A lot of hits on the website. Remember that, dutchjones.info. DutchJones.info. Spread it around. We had somebody donate yesterday. Was it Smiley from South Carolina?
The stickers
are in the mail. We put them in the mail this morning after we went to the gym and worked out. Did I mention we worked out at the gym?
Yeah,
I'm an athlete now.
Macho.
Macho. Yes, well, I'm probably, Minuteman, we're just going to wrap a bunch of money in a bar mitzvah card and send it to you, Minuteman, for those. We'll probably get the money tomorrow and send it out tomorrow afternoon. So, because the people already told me, yeah, we'll pay for it tomorrow. Man, my computer's overheating because this is in the way. Feel how hot that is. That was a bad idea for me to put a bumper sticker right there, holding it to your face. Some of the things that...
It's not so hot.
We wanted to talk about today, and maybe I can get into it now. I can't hold my breath very long. Hold your breath. The same people that got us into the beginning of this problem are still in power. Don't forget about that. You know, just to refresh what we talked about. Karl Rove is still the architect of all the stuff that's going on. There's something you need to know about Karl Rove, especially people who like him. Do you remember Judge Roy Moore? I think it was from Georgia. He had the Ten Commandments in his courtroom out in front of the courthouse, and he fought to keep them there, and everybody came down on him. Karl Rove was behind that whole thing. He was there. He was there, making sure that the prosecutors would go after Judge Roy Moore. And I learned that recently, and I'm not a great big fan of Karl Rove. I wasn't to begin with, but now I can't stand him. And he was behind a lot of these elections that went either way. I did some digging today. Those folks that were saying, "Well, look, look what happened in Alaska." Do you know why that happened in Alaska? Why the Tea Party person didn't win? Well, the Tea Party person that was running said she had no problem with enforced health care, mandatory health care. Of course they're not going to vote for her. Of course they're not going to vote for her. There's a lot more to this than you get from your basic news outlets. It's really sad. If you go to the local news and look at local newspapers like Anchorage and Nome and see what's going on. Here we've got some really good fights still going on. They still don't know who the Attorney General. Yeah, the Attorney General is. They don't know who he is. Keeps flip-flopping. Yes, Rove is a classic scumunist. Thank you, Orlin, for reminding me of that great new word we're going to use, scumunist. I guess Gavin is in Gavin Newsom as the sodomite vice governor. That was decided. The 20th district, still we don't know, with Costa. Costa is one of the cronies of Obongo, but he's behind by 1,700 votes now. I think he's going to lose too, but they're going to drag it out for months. And I'm sure you guys have the same stories all around the country that these weird little cases are going on. All this did is prove that elections are just, you know, secondary to the problem. Our governor is getting ready to do a special election to raise taxes now. The Fed, federally, the Fed is going to spend almost $1 trillion in buyback debt by printing money. So what that does through inflation is another form of taxation. Every dollar, as soon as they pay that debt off and reassume that debt for it's like $1.2 trillion over 2 years, that dollar in your pocket goes from being worth 20 cents to about a dime. It's just a great way to destroy your money. They want to raise interest rates. They want to get this economy going by pumping more money into it. And nothing has changed, folks. They're still on the same road to tyranny, so don't forget it. Another thing I want to talk about, if you guys want to do it, if you guys last night they had Alex Jones was on talking about, oh, what was the guy's name?
George Cooper or Jeff Cooper?
Not Jeff Cooper. It is Cooper, isn't it?
Alex.
A Pale Horse. Remember the author of The Pale Horse? Somebody help me out here. Yeah, Nevada and Reed. Cooper, look it up. Somebody Google it for me. I can't remember. I forgot his first name. He was a shortwave radio announcer back in the 80s. He talked about everything New World Order. And he had a shortwave. He had internet. He did all this stuff. Yeah, Ed would know if he was in there. But he was one of the guys that they executed. He was found shot in the back of the head after a supposed shootout. I'll Google it over the break. William Cooper. Thank you, Minuteman. Bill Cooper. Tomorrow is the anniversary of when he was murdered down there in Arizona. Nobody's done anything about it, Stace. Nobody does. He was wanted by the IRS. He was uncovering corruption in the sheriff's department down there. They went to his house in the middle of the night, threatened him. He turned and walked away. They shot him in the head. They said that he shot at them and mortally wounded some deputy sheriff. Everything I found said that the sheriff was fine. You know, again, shot in the back of the head, kind of like... Gordon Call, you know, the stuff they do. I didn't like his UFO stuff, but anyway, it's just another reminder, the anniversary tomorrow of him being murdered. Does it bother me a little bit? I don't have the impact that he did, nowhere near it, so, but I'll keep doing what I'm doing. We're going to be back after the break. I'm sorry, I'm over-talking the music.
And pray for me to go to heaven, should I die? Will I be sickened by the blood that colors the farmer's field? Will I cry out loudly for the death of my peers? Will I go to shoot a man and be frozen in my skins? Or will I shoot him down with just one round? Oh, here I go again. Oh, chaplain, hear me calling out to you. What's a young boy's heart supposed to do? And chaplain, take me by your weary side and pray for me to go to heaven. Should I die? And this train keeps rolling down these old rusty rails. You can hear her whistle blowing across this northern Ohio trail. When I reach my destination, I will try to be brave. I will fight for my country, no matter what it takes. And if I do not survive, will someone please take me home and bury me in the soil of Ohio. Oh, Chaplain, hear me calling out to you. What's a young boy's heart supposed to do? And Chaplain, take me by your weary side and pray for me to go to heaven should I die. And pray for me to go to heaven should I die.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
Attention. The government is the problem.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
I have high regard for his good taste.
Whose good taste? Who are you talking about? If you're going to say something like that, you got to clarify it. Who are you talking about? You don't know, do you?
No.
Well, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. It's a Thursday evening as the sun sets here in the Sierra Nevada Mountains on the west coast of this once great nation of the formerly United States of America. Here in California, the People's Republic of California, now that we have an all-communist government here under Moonbeam Brown. And keep an ear to us. You don't know what's going to happen to us now. I don't think so. I don't think anything bad's going to happen. Even if it was, even if I knew, I'd still be doing what I'm doing. But things may get sticky here in California. They may just come out, you know, with what they've got now, especially if they get a communist attorney general who's willing to work with them, because it looks like that may be the case as they debate that election. They may just start banning everything. You know, blunt knives, no sticks, can't have a baseball bat unless you're on a diamond. You know, all that kind of stuff. They'll do it. They'll do it here, and I'm not worried about it. Like Stacy, kind of like, oh, no, they're going to do all this, they're going to do all that. Those laws don't pertain to us. We don't bow to their authority. They're in violation of Romans 13.
I thought I had to give my stuff to
them. No, you don't have to give anything to them. You can if you want to, but just don't do it while I'm around. That would be grounds for a biblical divorce, if you surrender to tyranny. Get your foot down out of there. You're going to mess up the cables. So California's going to get ugly, and, you know, and there's potential things. And I'm here to tell you, I'll make a statement right now. If I end up in jail, don't believe anything they say. I mean, unless, of course, they say Dutch Jones was in, you know, went out in a blaze of glory and he was an awesome shooter and he took out 37 officers. You know, then believe that. I'm just kidding. But if, you know, they suddenly find, you know, 5,000 images of Peruvian midget porn on my computer or something, because that's how they get you.
Like they did Hutari.
Yeah, you know, the Hutari's page got covered in porno. You know, all that junk. Don't believe it. And spread the word. You know, I'll be a flash in the pan. I'm not that important to the cause. But they are. I think California's going to start getting really ugly real fast, which is, I like it. I like it. Which brings me to, I wanted to do this show. I was thinking about doing a special show on Saturday for Bill Cooper. Now, I'm not a great big fan of Bill Cooper, but I think in 2001, this was kind of the beginning of the end. I mean, you know, of course, you have Waco and Ruby Ridge, but it was showing how they learned their lesson, they being the New World Order, the IRS, the FBI, all that. They learned that they couldn't just outright straight confront militant people in America, tax evaders, wackos, whatever you want to call us. Now, Bill Cooper wasn't your prime example of the good, you know, patriot guy. He was into UFOs, Bigfoot, paranormal, the whole deal. I kind of think of him as like, he kind of, because of him, we now have that Steve Quayle show. And he hits on some good things, but I'm not crazy about it. Although I do love Coast to Coast, and I especially like it when they talk about the New World Order and the Fed and all that stuff. But Bill Cooper was all about, you know, just whatever was on the edge. And he was one of the first and one of the best. Back when, you know, man, this is years ago, before there was definitely me doing this, and before there was Alex Jones, there was Cooper. Now, he was the son of a U.S. Air Force officer. Cooper grew up in a family which moved around the world, living off Air Force bases where his dad was stationed. He had two siblings, Ronnie and Connie, who were 2 years younger than him. Now, William Cooper was active in the Masonic-sponsored youth organization Desmoulins International, or if I'm pronouncing that right. He graduated in 1961 from Yamato High School in Japan and enlisted in the U.S. Air Force the same year. He was honorably discharged from the Air Force in 1965. Later that year, he enlisted in the U.S. Navy, another man serving his nation, where he rose to the rank of petty officer. I've always hated that. You're so petty. You're a petty officer. He served in Vietnam, first on board a tanker, then following training at the Naval Security and Intelligence School for Internal Security Specialists as a boat patrol captain. For the remainder of his Navy career, Cooper would work on and off for Naval Security and Intelligence. Now, Cooper was awarded some commendations, Navy Achievement Medal, both with Combat V for Valor. But his thing is he liked to talk about secret governments, you know, the lizard people from outer space. People tried to turn me on to him about 6 years ago. You know, he was long dead before I discovered him. He was long murdered before I discovered him. But his earliest notoriety developed among UFO enthusiasts as he promoted UFO and paranormal research and documents he has seen while serving in naval intelligence. Sounds like, you know, some of the shows, there's a bunch of stuff up on YouTube, and I've listened to it. It's all over YouTube, and I encourage you to do it. Now, he wrote a book that I often see quoted everywhere. I've never read it, but it's still for sale. I checked out there. It's called Behold a Pale Horse. Cooper became a popular speaker on the UFO lecture circuit and expanded his account into the book Behold a Pale Horse. Cooper is perhaps best known for this 1991 book, which detailed much of his research into government corruption, secret societies, and UFO phenomenon. The UFO thing's fine, but I love watching Ghost Hunters. I love watching the UFO stuff, but for me, I don't spend a whole lot of my time on it. The title of the book is from the Bible, Revelation 6:8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was death, and hell followed him. Kind of a prophetic look at what the New World Order was going to do, and maybe even in his own life, that they were going to hunt him down and kill him. In addition to his literary pursuits, Cooper was also a host of his own worldwide shortwave radio show called Hour of the Time, as well as a political activist known for his court battles with the IRS, and God bless him for that. Despite strong efforts to dissuade him from pursuing his case, he also operated a dial-up bulletin board system. Remember those BBSs? Those computer geeks that predate, Windows? Dial-up, I love those things. Known as the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. So there are people doing this stuff. We stand in a stream of intelligence and activism that goes way back. Now, he and a guy named Wayne Benson co-researched and the related Agency for Joint Intelligence, the CAJI, new service brief titled BATF/IFRS Criminal Fraud. So he was after the bat fags before I was even calling him that. Now, a history of alleged crimes committed by the Internal Revenue Service, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and Department of the Treasury. In an article published in Veritas magazine, I love that name, issue 6, September of 95, that's how far back this goes, Cooper asserted the IRS is actually the same organization as the BATF. He also produced several documents covering subjects such as the John F. Kennedy assassination and government black projects. This guy was knee-deep into it. You know, while I was out, you know, wagging my finger at the government and playing militia, this guy was doing the research and putting it out there. Now, Cooper's detractors labeled him as a conspiracy theorist because of his publications, a charge Cooper did not deny. This was his argument. This is what Cooper said about what he did, and this stuff is so true as it is today. Investigation of the alleged Internal Revenue Service and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has disclosed a broad, premeditated conspiracy to defraud the citizens of the United States of America. Examination of the United States Codes, the Code of Federal Regulations, the statutes at large, the Congressional Record, the Federal Register, and IRS manuals, too numerous to list, reveals a crime of such magnitude that words cannot adequately describe the betrayal of the American people. Now, you think I'm poking the eye of the government? This guy was right there, and he had the evidence to back it up. Now, what we uncovered, he says, has clearly been designed to circumvent the limitations of the Constitution for the United States of America and to implement the Communist Manifesto within the 50 states. Now, Marx and Engels claimed, in the effort to create a classless society, a graduated income tax could be used as a weapon to destroy the middle class. Through the clever use of language, the government promotes this fraud. This guy had it. He had his finger on it right then. 95, he was doing this. I regret that I didn't listen to the live stuff. I would have loved to have called this guy and learned from him when he wasn't doing the UFO stuff. Now, William Cooper also founded Harvest Trust and the CAJI News Service, the Veritas newspaper, the Intelligence Service, and Harvest Publications. Under his leadership, Harvest Trust ventured into publishing. The first book under the Harvest Trust imprint was Oklahoma City, Day One, by Michael Marie Moore. Or is that Michelle? I always spell that wrong. That's Michelle Marie Moore, about the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, in 1998, Veritas and Harvest Publications was sold to Hallmark Creative Corporations, along with the copyright and all rights and all written materials produced and ever to be produced by William Cooper, including Behold a Pale Horse and Oklahoma City, Day One. Now, Hallmark Creative Corporation has contracted to ensure this material is always available to the public, and it is to this day. It's still on shelves to this day. Now, an advocate of free radio, woohoo! Cooper operated an unlicensed independent foundation trust at 101.1 FM in Eager, EAGAR, Arizona. He boasted of having helped more than 700 low-power FM affiliate stations get equipped on the air. Now, does this guy sound familiar? Like, it's like I'm driven by the same spirit, and I'd never heard of this guy until about 5 years ago. Isn't it sad? There's so many people out there that have done great things, and we need to exonerate and honor their names. That's why I'm doing this. Now, shortly after the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah building, Rush Limbaugh read a White House memo on the air during his broadcast, which named William Cooper the most dangerous radio host in America. Mr. Cooper considered President Bill Clinton's pronouncement the greatest compliment that he had ever received. Can you imagine that? It's kind of like Chuck Baldwin right now being named the most dangerous man in America, right? Cooper was charged with various crimes, including not filing and paying the income tax from 92 to 94. Who else do we know that hasn't done that? And bank fraud for supposedly giving false information on a loan application. I've never done that. A warrant was issued for his arrest on July 1, 1998, after he failed to appear in a federal court. Claiming to belong to the Second Continental Army of the Republic, he posted a message in big red letters on his internet site. I love this. Warning, any attempt by the federal government or anyone else to execute the unconstitutional and lawful arrest warrants will be met with armed resistance. I'm not giving you guys anything new, folks. If you think I'm some great voice in the wilderness, this has all been done before. There's a reason it keeps getting repeated, because it's the right message. So when you guys complain about me doing this, it's not me. I'm just sharing a message that's out there. That's the truth. The truth. And if you don't like it, you don't like a whole lot of people. I'm just a pimple right now. I'm nothing. The U.S. Attorney for Arizona, Jose de Jesus Rivera, said federal agents would move carefully to arrest Cooper, who faced a four-count indictment on charges that he failed to pay taxes from 92 to 94. Now, in Phoenix, Thomas Nixon of the U.S. Marshal's Office said authorities intended to act cautiously as they enforced the arrest warrant because no federal agency wants another Ruby Ridge or Waco, end quote. They knew it. That's why they do it this way. Now they're going to surgically remove us. They don't. Everybody says, oh, the next Waco, the next this. There isn't going to be something like that. They know that that's too inflammatory. But Nixon also added, obviously, at some point, we will effect an arrest. Now, they were going to kill him. They knew they were going to kill him. They just wanted to do it in a way that they could spin it easily. Nobody would be there, no cameras, like that. Now, on his website, however, he called summonses unconstitutional and unlawful because the federal government has no jurisdiction in Arizona except over land that was ceded to the United States by the state legislature. How many times have we argued that? These states need to seize back this federal land. In the 1990s, Cooper's interest moved to UFOs, and that's what I discovered listening to his archive and stuff. To covert government programs and the militia movement in June 2001, he warned publicly about an important terrorist attack on the United States of America that would be blamed on Osama bin Laden. When I watch or listen to these shows that were all over, you can find them, just Google William Cooper. He knew this was going to happen. He read the writing on the wall. You know, you got the other Jones guy over there saying, oh, I predicted it. He got it from this guy.
The other Jones who can't spell his name.
Yeah, the guy Jones who spells his name wrong. Now, in 1998, Cooper was living in Arizona. He was wanted for tax evasion. Another warrant was issued for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon against a local doctor shortly before his death. Now, that came from he caught people trespassing on his land, and he went down there and said, get off my land, and he had a weapon on. So they trumped that up. Now, on his website, Cooper wrote that an attempt to execute unlawful arrest warrants will be met with armed resistance, and so they should be. In July and September of 2001, Cooper was accused of brandishing a handgun to threaten passersby near his home in Eager, Arizona. They were trespassing. Just before midnight on November 5th, 2001, officers of the Apache County Sheriff's Office converged on Cooper's homestead to arrest him on a warrant arising from the threat complaint. People trespass. I don't want to go into detail, but I do this all the time here. I tell people that are trespassing, if they're in one of our buildings after hours or do no harm, you're trespassing, I am armed, you will be met with force, get off our property. I give them a choice to run, right, Stace? It's kind of fun when they do that, huh? Trying to avoid a violent confrontation, a potential siege with a man rumored to be unstable and armed, that's what they call us patriots, the team used subterfuge to lure Cooper out of his home in the middle of the night. Officers pretended to be rowdy trespassers on the edge of Cooper's rural property, blaring rock music and making other festive sounds until Cooper came out to investigate. Are you listening to that? They pretended to be trespassers. They were throwing beer bottles. I would put forth in other stuff I've read that they really were drunk and having a party out there. They went out there to hassle this patriot. You know how local cops are. They hate anyone who challenges their authority. Now, according to police accounts, when the deputies identified themselves, Cooper fled back towards his house, drew a handgun, and began shooting. One deputy was shot in the head and was hospitalized in critical condition. Now, I've since checked that out. It was a graze. I don't know. Another deputy returned fire, killing Cooper, shooting him in the back of the head. And thus, that brings us to why I'm doing this. I'm not afraid of that. This man died for what he believed, and he was murdered by law enforcement. I may not agree with everything he was doing, the UFO stuff. That kind of stuff, I'm not going to get into that. I may talk about that around the campfire. But this guy was predicting a lot of things. He was right about it. Look where we are today. Look at the Communist Manifesto being enacted right now in this nation, specifically in California and Massachusetts. Is this guy a quack? I don't think so. Do you think people at that time were saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing this? We can't stop simply because we're afraid of what the enemy may do unlawfully to us. And I sure as heck am not. And he's just one guy. What about the stories we don't know about? The point of it is, there's not going to be another Waco or Ruby Ridge. They don't want that unless we force their hand and make them do it. They're going to pick us off one by one, so we have to be alert. Are you guys picking up what I'm putting down? Are you harvesting what I'm sowing? Some of us have to be a target. Not all of us. By far not all of us. Not even the majority of us. But I'm here to tell you, I don't have any fear in this. I have no fear in this at all. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. If I start talking about UFOs and stuff, send me some email and tell me to get back on track. Although Bigfoot should be open for discussion on here, because I think Bigfoot's a government operative. What do you think? They're all looking at me like I'm nuts. Let me give out the phone number. If you guys have any memories of William Cooper you want to share, if you listen to his show, I'd really like to hear it. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Do you remember his show? Did you listen to his show? Did you think he was a wacko? What other things did he get right? As I go back, I've listened to probably 10 of his programs in the last 3 years, to be honest with you, because people have brought it to me and said, hey, you remind, and I'm not doing this to brag, you remind us of William Cooper. And I'm like, who? I felt like an idiot. I didn't know who he was. And then the first things I found were on UFOs. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, no, listen to his malicious stuff. Listen to his stuff on the OKC bombing. We know how they function out there. We know how they work. So be alert, be awake. America needs more awake alerts. Folks, I thought I'd get more feedback from this. I thought you guys would be telling me all these great William Cooper stories. I remember where I was in 90. I remember I first heard about him actually on Alex Jones. I mock Alex Jones, but I had first heard about him, but I didn't know what they were talking about. They said that he had called up and said he was surrounded and being attacked by the IRS and he needed help, and they put him on the show. This is like 99 or something, and I was in the militia movement then, but I wasn't, and trust me, I did what I could to learn, but I was on a slow learning curve. Hello, who do we have?
You guess who?
Hey, what's up, brother?
Anyway, I was one that used to listen to William Cooper every evening. It came on kind of late, you know.
Yeah.
I love the intro on the song. It's got the German Shepherd barking, the sirens going, you know, like, out
yeah.
But I mean, that was, like, really cool. He reminds me a lot of Jeff Bennett, and I don't know if you've heard Jeff.
No, I haven't. See, that's the reason I'm doing this. There's so many people out there in the darkness I haven't heard of.
I brought up the cassette for you to copy off it, but you couldn't do it on the American Crisis 2 or whatever. Jeff Bennett did a lot of, I guess you'd say, exposés, whether it's Skull and Bones, the United Nations, John Birch Society, a whole bunch of stuff. But he also did, you know, regular commentary stuff. William Cooper did a lot of commentary stuff also, but sometimes, like you said, whether it's on the IRS, he'd do expose type things. Yeah. Very informative. Really enjoyed listening to him. Because of the shortwave I had, there was a lot of static on it, so I really had to pay attention to hear it. But it was really, really good. And didn't listen to it all the time just because it was on kind of late.
Okay.
Enjoyed the show.
Now, in your opinion, at the time it was happening, was he well received? Or was he one of these people, like, after he died, everybody became a fan?
At that point, I didn't have a lot of contact with, you know, other like-minded people, per se. It's just one, you know, it's like I found Mark on the radio on shortwave back then, and his setup, William Cooper, some of the other ones. And most of the people around me were not like-minded, so it's not like I could share, hey, turn on this program, otherwise they'd think I was a whacked out nut on LSD or something like
that. Yeah.
So it was a type thing. I didn't want to cast pearls before swine.
Sure.
So I would listen to him and you know, pay attention to what he was saying and research, whether it was on the Oklahoma or, you know, Flight 800 or whatever it was. You know, just be better informed. And like I said, I really enjoyed his show. You got to check into Jeff Bennett. Kettle Moraine is, I guess, the whether I say ministry or whatever, the stuff goes by Kettle Moraine, but it's Jeff Bennett.
I'll have to look that up.
Again, very good shows, very good programs. I really like, again, the exposés he's done on.
Now, I can remember very vividly where I was in November of 2001, and I don't remember hearing anything about this attack on him and killing of him.
Oh, I heard, someone came in and took his show like the next day or so, and they were going over how he went out, how they were, like you said, you know, throwing beer bottles, you know, luring him out, and that when he, you know, fired and then retreated back up to the house for cover, he was shot in the back of the head. Like you said, it was a complete setup from, you know, his people, what they were saying, and, you know, there, from what you talk about and reflecting back on it, there's a good chance that's how they'll try to lure people out one by one rather than go out. Well, they did go after Hutari, which is not luring out. But the way Mark talks about
But they did use subterfuge to go after Hutari. They took him to an unknown location and used a ruse to get him out.
Right. But like Mark talks about, one of the ways Mark puts it is a lot of times we're not going to know when or how it started. He said there'll be a group, like Wolverine or whatever, going on a back road. Someone will try to ambush them and get a hold of them. He said there'll be a bunch of bodies, a bunch of bullet-riddled vehicles, and
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, and so he said, Mark thinks that's one of the ways it's going to start is just by, the jackbooted thug idiots think we've got the upper hand. And excuse me if I detract it, but Mark, I think it was Mark or one of the people that is associated with the people out in Michigan. They tried to encircle a guy and trap him, and apparently the word went out, whether it's CB radio or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the jackbooted thugs literally surrounded the area, waiting for the militia to show up, and then they catch him. But what they didn't realize, it was so well planned out, that the militia actually surrounded the BATF guys.
I love that kind of stuff.
They kind of looked backwards, and there were guys they could see scopes on, they could see night vision, they could see cameras going, and all of a sudden it was like, oops. You know, we thought we had the upper hand, but literally the militia had them surrounded. And it was monitoring their frequencies.
And those people that are fortunate to have that kind of infrastructure, not fortunate, the hard work that they put in to get that type of mechanism in place. Of course, we're not going to have that here. You know, it's me and a handful of guys, and I call you, and you're, 4 hours away, and we're like, And, of course, the same thing happened to Mark. I love that video on YouTube of Mark running from the police when they accused him of robbing the bank. And, I won't go much into that because I don't have a lot of knowledge on it. But that's what they do. They'll come up with these lies, draw you out. If they get the shot, they'll take it. And if they can't kill you, they'll ruin you. I can't tell you how many people I know that weren't very big at all, but they ruin them in the community they're in, especially with child porn or financially and stuff like that. They'll come after you. They don't have to kill you to destroy you and to silence you. So I hear the music there. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back on Liberty. I love the dog bark. Liberty Tree Radio when we come back. So we'll enlarge our audience. I don't know what we're going to talk about. Maybe we'll continue to talk about how they're going to come after us. That might be a good thing to do. But I don't want to forget about William Cooper, the anniversary of his murder tomorrow. We'll be back after this. Thank you very much. I'm going to turn you down, so don't say anything. My friend from Southern California. We'll be right back.
Shall never prevail, because he gave his life for me. I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door, because all is fair in love and war. Five forty-five p.m. on a North Dakota road, February 83, that's when the war began, where two federal marshals died for the sake of tyranny. They both would underestimate the courage of one man, who only shot in self-defense to save his promised land. Because all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war. When all was said and done, and the verdict's handed down, someone had to take the fall, and it was Gordon's son, who was wounded.
the fray. Please won't you pray for your recall, who now must waste his life away inside some stinking jail. Please pray the Lord might set him free through faith. We shall prevail. They say all is fair in love and war. Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war, in love and war.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
What makes America great?
I'm back too, Orlin. Welcome back. And welcome to our Liberty Tree Radio listeners. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And we come to you from the little Commonwealth of Cahuilla in the Republic of California. Now the occupied communist territories, full on now. It's 100% now. We ditched our Republican in name only, foo-foo, sodomite, drug-using, womanizing governor. He termed out, and now we've got Governor Moonbeam back in, a degenerate hippie, dyed-in-the-wool communist in charge with a sodomite for a lieutenant governor, former mayor of San Francisco, Gavin Newsom. So, yeah, we're done. We're probably going to get a liberal attorney general. They're going to come after us. They're just going to, you know, individual. It's going to be great. California, the rest of the country is going to be fine because there's going to be so much infighting. They'll probably leave you guys alone. But here in California, they're going to try and eat us alive. And in that vein, if you've been listening on U-Broadcast for the last hour, we've been talking about the anniversary tomorrow, November 5th, 2001, of William Cooper being murdered by Apache County Sheriff's officers. Now, I'm not going to go heavily into the history of it because I'm pretty sure if you're listening to Liberty Tree Radio, you know. I found out about him about 5 years ago. People said, hey, I've heard your show. You probably would like William Cooper. You should Google him. And then the first stuff I found was on, like, UFOs. And I'm like, nah, why do you think I sound like him? And then the more, you know, I looked, they're like, no. He was into Waco and OKC, you know, the Pale Horse book, all that kind of stuff. So I started studying him, and I found that I really liked a lot of his government stuff and his militia stuff. And I just want to make sure that people don't forget about people like this. I didn't know who he was, and I was in the militia movement since 92, and I'd never heard of him. I was in a vacuum. I was just worried about the actual fighting and preparing and prepping that was going on a local level, and I hadn't even started listening to great people like Mark Kornke or anything yet. You know, it just was, you know, I heard off and on stuff, but I wasn't a dedicated listener to anything. But when you study it, and we were talking about the day that he was assassinated, that he was murdered. He wasn't the head of state, so he wasn't assassinated. He was murdered. You know, how they used a ruse to get him out. They claimed that he was running around and tactically shooting. And I forgot to tell you guys, he only had one leg. He had lost his lower part of his leg as a result of his military service, and he had a limb on. Now, I don't know. I've seen some guys in paintball tournaments with no legs that were doing great stuff. There's guys over in Iraq and Afghanistan right now missing both legs. But for the police to say that he was this, you know, he could get off these running shots and shoot, supposedly shot an officer in the head who was in critical condition, later turned out to be a scratch from the stuff I've read. I don't want to forget this stuff. I don't want to forget what these people did before we came onto the picture. We stand on the shoulders of great men and women going all the way back to, I believe, the Reformation. And you know, you have the Protestant view, which I don't consider myself a Protestant nor a Catholic. I'm a separatist, a religious separatist, not a racial separatist, so save your letters. But we can't forget these people that came before us, even as recently as 9 years ago, November 5th, 2001, just, you know, what is it, not even a month and a half after Osama bin Laden was accused of taking down the World Trade Centers. He predicted that, too. William Cooper predicted that in one of his shows. Somebody sent me that. He said Osama bin Laden is going to be accused of doing something that's going to be a false flag, and they had to shut him up. The IRS was after him, all this kind of stuff. And what I'm looking for is a few people have memories of him, especially I wish that I could have listened to him live. I'm ashamed to say I didn't know who he was at the time, but now, you know, we have the internet to keep him alive and to share stuff with him. You should look for some of his stuff on YouTube for me, in fact. Maybe we can play some of it. But I can't not acknowledge the fact that I'm able to do this only because men like him did it first. And people continue to do it, like the folks over at Liberty Tree Radio, the Kornkes. And I have to acknowledge that. And it's just, it's sad to me. I don't remember hearing anything in the news that day. Like I said, I remember specifically where I was, November 5th, 2001, and I didn't hear anything about it. Didn't know about it, didn't know what was going on. I was in a whole ball of confusion. I was working for the fire department. I was also in a militia. I was working for FEMA. After what had happened, you know, I was doing everything to try and make sense of what was happening. And I was paying very close attention to the news. I watched everything. I don't remember them talking about this. And it's a paradigm, not a paradigm, it's a modus operandi, wrong big phrase, that I think they're going to reutilize. Instead of doing another Waco or another Ruby Ridge, they're going to use subterfuge. They're going to use the ruse like they did with Hutari, distracting them and attracting them to a funeral to disarm them and then rounding them up. So we have to be, especially here in California. California's going to do whatever it wants. They're going to try and get rid of us, those of us that are counter to their communist dream here. We have to be alert. Be on your toes. You get something in the mail that says, hey, you just want a free trip to so-and-so, you know, to such-and-such country. Be alert. Case the place. Use due diligence. Don't be caught unawares. The other side of it is they're going to try and ruin you. If they don't like what you're doing and they find out about you, you're out there talking about being a free man on the land and you're protesting taxes, they're going to start coming after individuals here in California specifically, and I think Massachusetts and the rest of the nation. I still stand with my decision that they're going to be so distracted fighting each other and making you think they're not doing what they're doing. They're not continuing down the path of tyranny. It might take some heat off of you, but those of us that are behind enemy lines, that are fighting the front on the front lines, and every day, you know, I run the risk every day I leave this facility of being picked up and having my rights violated, and then they find out who I really am, and they get all upset. Oh, look what he's doing. Because if I have 1,000 listeners, if I have 1,000 listeners that listen during the week, because we have about 5,000 hits a month on the website, so you got to do the math. I don't know what that's going to work out to. So let's say we have 500 listeners. At least two of them are either telling on me or deliberately, you know, told to listen to me. And the reason I'm bringing this up is twofold. I still have people calling the pastor and telling him I'm dangerous and that I need to stop what I'm doing. And the pastor just tells him to take a hike because, you know, we're not going to live in fear. I'm not doing anything unbiblical. I'm not doing anything unconstitutional. And if I use terms of hate once in a while for our enemies, so what? So what? I have the right to say these things. I'm not telling you to go out and kill sodomites, am I? Have I ever said that? Find me the soundbite that says that. And I will repent of that, because that's not what this show is about. This show is about shedding the light and pointing our anger where it belongs.
Only thing you said about that is they need to repent for their
sins. Yeah, they need to repent for their sins, and they need to get out of my country, whatever country we form.
That's it.
So be aware, folks. And let me give the phone number out again. 559-561-8225. I want to hear your comments on William Cooper, what you remember there. There's a time for love, there's a time for hate, a time for peace, and a time for war. That is right, Ed.
I have a sound thing.
That's exactly what, what was that pastor, the German pastor? And he ripped off his robe. He's from the Black Robe Regiment. It'll come to me in a minute. Muhlenberg said that. Muhlenberg in his sermon. I love that sermon. So I want to know what your comments are. We're going to play an audio piece here. So wait till it's over if you want to call in. What do you remember about Bill Cooper? Enlighten me. I want to know more about him. You know, I saw the UFO stuff and I kind of cringed. Enlighten me about the good stuff, the stuff that was pertinent to the cause. I want to know. Yeah, people always forget about the hate part of that. Yeah. A righteous burning hate is good. Go ahead and play it when you can, Lou. I'm filling time here.
Supposedly, a CNN reporter found Osama bin Laden, took a television camera crew with him, went into Osama bin Laden's hideout, interviewed him and his top leadership, and he came out and told everybody, within 3 weeks, Osama bin Laden is going to attack the United States and Israel. Now, don't you think that's kind of strange, folks? You see, because the largest intelligence apparatus in the world, with the biggest budget in the history of the world, has been looking for Osama bin Laden for years and years and years, and can't find him. Some doofus jerk-off reporter with a camera crew waltzes right into his hideout and interviews him. And I'm telling you, be prepared for a major attack. But it won't be Osama bin Laden. It will be those behind the New World Order. I wonder what Osama bin Laden's targets are supposed to be. And if they don't, you know, if this doesn't materialize in the next 2 or 3 weeks, it will eventually materialize, because they haven't succeeded in getting the guns out of the hands of the American people, nor have they succeeded in taking our freedoms away. And so I can tell you with a certainty, they must do something terrible in order to stop this backlash and regain the sympathy of the mass herds of sheeple out there.
Amazing stuff. And just so you know, that was from July. What was the date of that?
28.
July 28th, 2001. August, September. Just about a month before they pulled the trigger on 9/11. Okay, thanks, Ed. I appreciate that. So he knew what was going to happen. That's why they murdered him. That's why they went out of their way to ruin him. That didn't work, because he kept fighting him in court, kept standing up to him in court, and then they murdered him on his front lawn. An American veteran, a patriot, a man with one leg, they lured out of his house by pretending to have a loud, raucous party on his property, and any of us would go, hey, get off my land, and I'd go down with a gun too. And then go, hey, wait a minute, we're really cops. Come here, buddy. And I would turn and run to my house, too, and they shot him in the back of the head. Murdered him. Murdered Bill Cooper. And the things that he's saying there, the things that he's doing, we got to keep doing it. We got to keep that information going. We got to keep pushing the truth. I don't spend a whole lot of time on 9/11 because, honestly, I'm not an expert on it. And I defer to those that know it better. I'm just a prepper. I'm a trainer, a recruiter. I share the gospel. But I acknowledge and I bow down to these people that not bow down. I don't bow to any man, but I defer to these people that have done these great things. And his listening audience, from what I've been reading, was huge. Yeah, you don't find any Dutch Jones stuff floating around YouTube unless me and Lou put it there, right? That one thing on Alex Jones, but Lou's Googling my name now, or the name of the show. But don't forget about this guy. Dig, go look for him, find his stuff, tell people about him. Go.
SoCal Marshall
Lawler. Yeah, there's not much else. It's just stuff I put up there. This guy had a deep effect. If you remember him, if you remember things about him, I want you to give me a call, 559-561-8225. It's not a tribute show, it's an acknowledgement show. 559-561-8225. I mean, I think about this, you know, I'm not going to go so far as to say he was a prophet. I don't know where he stood with the Lord. But the Lord can use non-saved people to warn us of things, right? And if you go through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, what always happens to these guys? They get slaughtered. The Sadducees, the powers that be, the deceptive and evil kings, they don't like people telling the truth, so they kill them. The question is, are you learning from these people's examples? Are you going to answer that call in the middle of the night a little differently? It's really weird. I was listening last night to Coast when they were talking about this. And at the very same part when they, and I'm going to share a little bit of this with you, I can't go into great detail, when they say, yeah, the police faked a disturbance on his property to lure him out of the house. My phone rang, and one of the other residents on the property said, the security light just went out in the church, and I see flashlights in the church. My heart went cold, not with fear, but with, what's going on here? Why am I hearing this? I hear this on the radio about how they lured this radio host. Now, I'm not comparing myself to him. I'm nowhere near. I don't have the listening audience. I don't have the experience. I don't have the knowledge. And I have no prophetic ability. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not getting a swelled head, but this is freaky. So Stacy and I gun up. We go down to the church. We find four doors unlocked. Well, eventually we find four doors unlocked and one open. We went to the first door. It was unlocked. It shouldn't have been unlocked. That's where our big screen TV was, so somebody was trying to steal the big screen TV, I think. I enter the building. I don't hear or see anything. Got my tactical light out. I'm doing my best Harry's flashlight, you know, and Stacy's got my back. You know, we're stacked up, ready to go in. And I just announce, if you're in this building, you're trespassing and you will be shot. At that point, I heard somebody get up and run and hit the panic bar at a door at the opposite end of the church and run out and leave the door open. Well, upon clearing the building, it took us some time to clear the building. I wanted to make sure they didn't leave anybody behind. And I'm not going to chase anybody. You guys heard yesterday's show. We secured the area, the property, did everything. There were four doors that were unlocked from the inside, and we still don't know how that happened. My belief is that whoever closed the building forgot and left one door unlocked, and that's how they gained access. They called a buddy, said, bring your truck, realized there's a big bright light in the parking lot. They located that switch, turned it off, and were waiting for their buddy. So for the next hour, we secured and waited and hoping that they would come back, and they didn't. But we didn't dial 911. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I just heard how Bill Cooper got ambushed by people being on the property illegally and luring him down. And I'm just like, this is just too weird. I don't know why God did that. I don't know if he wanted me to wake up, because I've been pretty lax lately about the property around here. I've been relying on our laurels that people are afraid to mess with us. It's been almost 2 years since I've engaged a nighttime trespasser who came here with ill will towards us. Usually it's just somebody wanders out in the middle of the day and they litter or something, and I tell them, since you don't have respect, you got to leave. But it's a sign to me, and I wanted to share it with you because that happened. I felt like I had to share it with you. We don't have to be Bill Cooper. We don't have to be Mark Kornke. We can just be somebody spreading the message. We can be a valve in the plumbing of truth that they want to stop up. And we have to keep our eyes open. We have to be aware that attacks can come from anywhere now, from anyone that we don't know that we would trust life or death with. We have to be very cautious, be very prepared for these stupid little things to happen. I mean, in all honesty, chances are, you know, I could have been shot by a crackhead last night if I hadn't paid attention. You know, and what a way to go. And then everybody would have said, oh, we don't believe it. Dutch really got killed by the government. Probably not. I'll probably die in my sleep, just like a lot of the founding fathers did. George Washington, you know, died in his sleep.
You're going to live to be
Stacy says, I'm going to live to be 104. Not after the experience I had. Well, maybe with modern technology and my income, you know, advances, I could probably get my brain transplanted. My income. If I was a billionaire, maybe. Go do cryogenic suspension or something. But odds are nothing's ever going to happen to me. The Lord will protect me, will blind my enemies. But I just wanted to bring that up to you. These things are in my head 24/7. And sometimes even I get laxed, and it's a nice little kick in the pants. And I think that's what God did to me. I wasn't thinking twice about William Cooper. I hadn't thought about him in probably a year. Because he doesn't get discussed much around here because of his UFO thing. We talk Mark Kornke. We talk the intelligence report. That's what we discuss. That's the bulk. Hey, did you hear what happened last night on there? Oh, did you hear this? Did you hear that? Did you guys get a copy of that? Are you listening? Are you downloading it? That's what we do. That's our source. Right now, among other things, we get a lot of written literature. We listen to a lot of different newsletters, and we read a lot of newsletters. And that's how we get the input. We kind of operate, laugh out loud, you would wake up in a Chinese body. That would be terrible. They transplant my brain into a Chinaman's body. I love the accent, though. Yeah, George Takei. I don't know if he's Vietnamese or what, but that guy looks like Sung Young Moon right there. That doesn't look like George Takei. I don't know who that is. But we can't get relaxed in this, folks. And we also can't forget these people that have sacrificed. We can't forget the sacrifice. And I'm speaking a little out of turn here because I'm not friends with the Kornkes or anything. But the efforts they put forth, it came at a cost. It came at a cost. I think it's bad that I have to be careful traveling around, you know, where I go. Can you imagine being an icon of a movement like other people are, you know, that we listen to and we respect? It's just like that way with the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers had to sneak around after that war started because there was a high price on their heads. Let's not forget those people that are doing that. Let's not forget those people whose lives are ruined, that are risking their honor and their fortunes and do it knowingly. That do it knowingly. I pray that I get through this unscathed and I see my children and grandchildren living in freedom and liberty, but I also am very realistic. And I do not trust the enemy. I don't trust those keepers in the temple, the money changers. I don't trust the Pharisees, because I know what they're capable of. And if as recent as 2001, they whacked this guy, they murdered him for telling the truth. He got it right. Whether it was insanity or not, I didn't know the man. Somebody said he had a crystal ball. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it was divination and it was of witchcraft. But he told the truth and nailed it. Nailed it. God forbid I come up with something that I say that comes to be true. That's kind of why I stay kind of vague. Because like I say, I don't have prophecy type abilities. Can you find something else by him? No, I haven't got to the level of men who stare at goats. Find me another soundbite of his. I want to play more of his stuff because I really want to share it with people who haven't heard it or maybe have forgotten. I'm not getting any calls. Maybe people didn't listen to him. Maybe only Minuteman's the only guy who ever listened to him. I of course, you know, I'm not saying I was a pathetic little puke that didn't know who he was. But I was a pathetic little puke who didn't know who he was. I wish I'd have learned from him. I wish I'd have benefited from his abilities, from his information that he put out. But no, it wasn't meant to be. And I'm going to be honest with you. Right after 9/11, the first militia that I interacted with, they were into the truth movement back then. And I was like, who are these guys? They actually think George Bush flew an airplane? Remote control? You know, they were hitting it hard, and I was a little set back by it. I was still a traditionalist redneck militia guy. I knew about the New World Order, I knew about the Bilderbergs, but I was not yet ready to accept that until the evidence started coming out. You know? I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy, so I didn't listen to all this kind of stuff all the time. Now I do. Now I love listening to it, and I kind of chew the meat and spit out the bones, as it were. You got anything, Lynn? Nothing on aliens. I don't want to hear any of his stuff on aliens. That's what I kept finding today. Let it load up and then tell me when you're ready. What's this one on? This is a good one. His soundbite on the priesthood and the Zionists. This will get where are my Jesuit people in here that don't like Jesuits? I don't know if we have them all in here. I don't think we have any in here today. Ah, too bad Batfag's not here today because this would be a good one for him. Let me know when you're ready, Lou. I don't know what are you doing?
Setting up the break.
We already got a break coming.
Yeah.
Well, don't play it till after the break then, because how long is the soundbite? Only a minute? Okay, play it.
A mystery always holds sway over those who don't understand it. And the priesthood was born. No king ever existed without the permission of the priesthood. I don't care what religion you're talking about or what period of history you're talking about, it is the truth. The kings never had the power and don't to this day. Kings exist at the whim of the real power, which is the priesthood standing behind the throne. And when the king ceased to be of benefit to the priesthood, they would simply poison him or get rid of him in some other way. The king is dead, long live the king, and there would be another king appointed. That's why I get angry with Americans when they say, the Jews control the press. Who sold it to them? How'd they get it?
Yep. Yeah, I wish I could have met him. I probably would have enjoyed his company. I heard he was a hard drinking man that would get angry sometimes. It wasn't easy to get along with. One thing I like is I found a lot of stuff that he said angry against Alex Jones. So we kind of agreed on that. Stacy just put a kind of a sidebar here. A Muslim who's suing in Oklahoma an anti-Sharia ballot initiative using the Constitution to enforce or to fight people who are fighting Islam. I love it. First Amendment. Maybe we'll talk about that when we come back.
It does not pertain to him.
Yeah, First Amendment doesn't pertain to Muslims.
No,
it's for a Christian people.
Yeah,
yeah, that's hate. Is that hate speech, guys? Did I just commit hate speech? Am I really a dangerous radio announcer? Stuff like that. So guys like Bill Cooper, I guess I'll let that rest. I think you guys got the point. It's a great name, Bill Cooper. Should be a TV show, you know, and they could get somebody like James Garner. Is James Garner still alive? I hope so. I like James. You don't know who James Garner is? Rockford, PI?
I thought he lived up here.
He's got a house up here somewhere, but I've never seen him. If he's alive, he's probably like 900 years old. I heard Carl Malden was up here too, but I haven't seen him. Folks, we're getting ready to come up on a break here. Go ahead and roll the music. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Sharia law thing. Maybe that'll get you a little mad. Where's our Oklahoma contingent? They're not in there. They listen on the pod. Pod people. We got to write a song about the pod people. Pod people. Where's the music, Lou?
It's playing a banger.
I don't hear it. It's terribly low. There we go. Okay, I'll adjust it over here. Don't adjust it over there. We'll be back after the break where I don't know what we're going to talk about, but it's Thursday night and we're live and I need to vent.
Sets you free. Your soul may know the darkness.
by petty thieves who plunder in the shadows of the night. They break inside and enter through the windows of your mind. How can I control this poisoning of the soul? These lies that blind your eyes, blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Thought machine controls the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain? Knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
He's a great guy.
Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we move to another book entitled The Teachings of the Masters, The Wisdom of the Ages, by Reverend Dr. R. Swinburne Clymer, Director General, Church of Illumination, Supreme Grand Master of the International Confederation of Initiates, Supreme Grand Master of the Merged Occult Fraternities comprising the Priesthood of Ith, the Rosicrucian Order, the Secret Schools, the Hermetic Brotherhood, Fraternitas Rosicrucis, Temple of the Rosy Cross, the Order of the Magi, Sons of Isis and Osiris, Illuminati Americani, which translated means the American Illuminati. Published by the Philosophical Publishing Company, Beverly Hall, Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Copyright 1952 by Beverly Hall Corporation, all rights reserved. Prologue. Early in the year 1916, instructions were received from the Count M. de Saint Vincent, Supreme Hierarch of the Fraternitas Rosicrucis, to make preparations for a sacred convocation on the 68th anniversary of the establishment of the Supreme Grand Dome of the Fraternitas and Associate Organizations as established in America by Dr. Paschal Beverly Randolph. At this convocation, which was to convene on June 1, 1916, the neophyte body was to be informed of a crisis that would be the beginning of the enslavement of the people of America in a manner so insidious that they would not be aware of it. America was to become engaged in a war that would be only the beginning of greater wars. It was prophesied that an effort would be made to destroy the Christian religion so secretly and silently that only the alert and elect would be aware of this activity. This effort is in full bloom today and is making atheists out of millions. Even before their churches are destroyed, the reverse of what has happened and is happening in other countries. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are now beginning to learn that none of this is hidden. Anyone can find it. Anyone. And the message that I am bringing you is clear. It is concise. And there can be no mistake in its interpretation. You must wake up now or be enslaved. The war has begun many years ago. The war was declared by our enemies upon us. You had better listen.
Wow, 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 wow. You should have seen the video that went with that. It was showing burning Christian churches, people, you know, up in Kosovo, climbing up on Christian churches where they burn, tearing the crosses down off the top. Just this guy, his delivery is great. The content is great. And I wish he was around today. That was William Cooper, murdered the anniversary tomorrow, November 5th, 2001. He was murdered by the sheriff. Sheriff deputies of Apache County, Arizona, for among many things, just telling the truth. And since I don't do a Saturday show, I thought I'd do this. I'm not a, you know, I know there are people out there knowing better than me. I always thought I'd get more calls. Minuteman seemed to like it. Is it Thursday? So it's Saturday. Thank you. Tomorrow, what's today's date?
The 4th? Yeah. I was thinking today
was Friday. Too. I keep thinking it's Friday. So maybe we'll do another show tomorrow. Thanks for doing that on the air. Now I look really stupid. It's because I went to the gym and I worked so hard on my glutes. I'm just in a daze from all the steroids that they gave me.
Macho.
But let's not forget about them. Let's not forget about them. We're not going to play any more of that. I just wanted to do that. Now, I got something here. Where was that? Muslim sues Oklahoma over anti-Sharia ballot. And let's get back to the regular flow of the show. I think I've spent enough time doing that, knowing that tomorrow's not Saturday now. So, yeah, I will do a show tomorrow, I guess. What should I cover tomorrow now? That shot my entire... See, you're my producer, Lou.
Yeah,
we're going to have a talk in the post-show communications. Well, that's good. That means I have more time. I can go back to the gym tomorrow. Cool. Muslim sues Oklahoma over anti-Sharia ballot measure. Just 2 days after Oklahoma voters approved a ballot measure banning state courts from considering Islamic or international law when ruling on cases, a local Muslim has filed a federal lawsuit saying the measure is unconstitutional.
What?
The lawsuit against ballot measure state question 755, or better known as Save Our State, seeks a temporary restraining order to block the results of the election from being certified by the State Elections Board on November 9th. The measure is scheduled to go into effect on January 1st. Oklahoma residents approved the measure with 70% of the vote. God bless Oklahoma. But Munir Awad, executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, a terrorist group in Oklahoma, who filed a lawsuit, said the measure is unnecessary because there is no threat of an Islamic takeover of state courts. Muslims make up only 30,000 of the state's nearly 4 million residents, less than 1%. No, but it's a nice preemptive strike, isn't it? So we don't end up like France. Awad said the measure violates his First Amendment right to freedom of religion because it singles out Islam. He said the measure is just another way to politically savage Muslims. Well, I would say he's got savage and Muslims right together in the sentence, but the rest of the sentence is wrong. This is great. The Islamic community in Oklahoma has complained about the past action of the state legislature, including a proposal to forbid Muslim women from wearing head garments in driver's license photos and refusing to accept the Quran from a Muslim advisory council at an official state ceremony. One of the bad things is when the Muslim women take off their burqas, it's hard to tell them from the men because of the beards.
Oh, yeah.
The women with the beards. And it's tough. So, you know, it's going to be a little hard, but okay. At least now with the burqas on, we can tell who the women are supposed to be. Proponents of the anti-Islamic law measure have cited a New Jersey family court judge's decision. I love how they rely on other judges. Not to grant a restraining order to a woman who was sexually abused by her Moroccan husband and forced repeatedly to have sex with him. The judge ruled that her ex-husband felt he had behaved according to his Muslim beliefs. Don't you love these family court judges? And that he did not have a criminal desire or intent to sexually assault his wife. Okay, the Old Testament says that anyone who blasphemes God, I must smite them, take them out, and kill them. Not that I'm going to do that today, but will that family court judge uphold my Christian right to do that? What if I'm a member of the Phineas Brotherhood and I see people having sex in a temple? Can I put a javelin through them down? No, I can't do that. But we allow Muslims to do whatever they want in this country, so that shows that they have one. But the New Jersey Appellate Court overturned the decision in July, ruling that the husband's religious beliefs were irrelevant and that the judge is taking them into consideration was mistaken. Sharia is the basis of law in most Islamic countries, though its implementation varies. It has been used in Iran and Somalia, among other places, to condone harsh punishments like amputations and stoning. We have some great photos that we may share with you when we get approval of the people we got them from, of about a six-year-old boy having his hand crushed underneath a vehicle driving over it because he was caught stealing candy. Proponents of the Oklahoma ballot measure say the possibility of Sharia law coming to America isn't remote, pointing to Britain, where at least 85% Sharia courts are operating. At least 85 Sharia courts are operating. I misread that. Yeah, good to go, Oklahoma. Fight this idiot. Don't let him win. If you're in Oklahoma and you don't know about this, you guys better be sending stuff to fight this. It's insane. And they're gonna beat us. You know what the problem is? It's just like the thing. You know, who allows the tyrants to rule? We give them the power. Well, we do too by not acting. We're letting the Muslims infiltrate this country. We're letting them build mosques everywhere. We're letting them say, hey, you can't build – if you get caught giving a Bible out in Saudi Arabia, you get your hand cut off, and the person you gave it to gets killed. If you're lucky, you just really get deported. They haven't cut the hand off a Christian in a while. But the Sharia law in the streets, they're stoning and killing Christians all the time. You know? It's a sad, pathetic way to lose a country, isn't it, by handing it over to the barbarians. Not much changes in history, does it? We let these savages come into our country with their savage, ungodly, satanic laws, and our courts go, ooh, let's be nice to them. But where there's little victories, they overturn this judge, you know, and then now this guy's going to waste your tax dollars from CARE, you know, that group CARE. It's just a front for a terrorist group. Look it up. They send money to the Holy Land Foundation. What's the Holy Land Foundation? A front for Hamas. Yeah, could you imagine if we applied Sharia law for one day in Washington, D.C., Warland's saying, and we could drag all the senators and congressmen out for violating Sharia law and we could behead or torture them? That'd be one way of getting rid of Sharia law. Say, okay, let's just pick one day a year where we make Sharia law of the land in Washington, D.C., and let's go around and apply it. All the sodomites would get the test of the wall or the test of the river. Read Sharia law. It's pretty harsh. pretty harsh. I had a friend in the military that ended up in Saudi Arabia. His wife drove a car with pants on and was brutally beaten. And our government did nothing. They just asked her to leave the country when she got out of jail. They beat her because an American woman without a veil, in pants, driving a car that wasn't a rich Saudi Arabian. The rich Saudi Arabian women get to do it. It's a complete corrupt system, as with everything to do with Islam. It is a vile, disgusting, gutter religion created by the Catholic Church as a foil to continue their world domination, to get rid of peasants. They had to create the wars in the Holy Land. You know, what would the WWF be without good storylines? The Catholic Church has just been doing it a lot longer. And they would continue to do it today if they could get away with it, to be honest. So they use the Muslims. The Catholics would love nothing more than to go back to the Dark Ages and not let... Here, I'm going to attack another religion again. To enforce the old papal rules that you can't read the Bible, you can't let your children do the Lord's Prayer. They'd be burning people at the stake, but they can't get away with it anymore because they don't have an army anymore. So what do they have? Muslims. What a great way to do it. But it backfired on them. It's like Dr. Frankenstein. They created this thing, and then, boom, it takes over Europe. They're like, oh, wait a minute, we got to get rid of them. And then great men, even Catholic men, rose up and repelled the Muslims. Well, how many great men are left today? How many great men are left today in the world that are willing to fight these people and to get them out of our hair? Not very many. I know of a handful. I know people that are out there every day in their face. I know people that are planning and staging and getting ready for the stuff that's going on in Europe, the car burnings, the riots, the stuff that happened in Australia, the rapings, all that's going to happen in America, folks. I'm not Bill Cooper. I'm not going to get it down to a matter of days like he did. But it's going to happen in America, and there are men, modern-day Knights Templars, you know, to use that term. I'm not crazy about it, but modern-day warriors for Christ that are willing to keep an eye on these folks. And when they strike, there's going to be a repercussion. They're out there. I'm going to bring some people on that are, you know, just going to have to be a little covert. I won't give out any names or anything, but there is a whole network of people out there doing, you know, keeping an eye on them. That's all they're doing. They're shore watching. They're not beating up Muslims. They're not burning down stores. They're not dragging Muslim men out of their car. That's what the Muslims do. Watch Europe. Look at Bosnia Herzegovina. Look at former Yugoslavia. Yeah. We're always on the wrong side of wars lately, aren't we? Kind of weird, huh? These corporate wars for Islam, that's all it is. Because today the Catholic Church doesn't have the power. It's the New World Order sees the power. And they need to have the wolf in the woods. The wolf in the woods. All these false flag attacks that occurred, if we hadn't gotten it 17 minutes later, that plane would have blown up in the air. UPS would have been down. They act like the system failed, but they caught them all. I don't understand that. If the system failed, why didn't any planes blow up? Why do we need stricter, harsher rules? Why do these people mail it, you know, especially the anarchist in Greece? Speaking of Greece, mainline news, Fox News, CNN News, CBS, NBC, ABC, are they still around? Yeah. Their pundits, their spin doctors are saying, we're going to be like Greece in a year or two. We're going to be like Greece. Our nation's going to have outrageous inflation. Some of us already have 40. We have 40% unemployment where I live right now. Don't believe me? Come out here and try and find a job. They say it's like 10 or 11% nationwide. It's more like 30. It's more like 30. Everyone I know is either clinging to a job or trying to be self-employed like we are. I don't know anybody that's secure in their job or isn't working part-time jobs or hustling out there doing whatever it takes. You don't see homeless guys anymore around going, we'll work for food, because there are middle-class moms and dads out there doing it. We went to a birthday luncheon yesterday, and I swear the waitress... I mean, usually you get a waitress, they're real jovial. You can tell they're a waitress. There's dignity in the job. I'm not demeaning the job. But this woman was obviously a former corporate type person, maybe upper management, and now she's delivering my iced tea, and I could sense it in her. You know what I'm talking about? She was perfectly groomed, had a demeanor about her where she's, you know, and I'm not, and trust me, I prefer a regular down-to-earth waitress or waiter myself. But this woman, I was like, wow, I felt kind of creepy. You know, I felt like this lady should be telling me to clean up my desk and, and make sure I get that file in by Friday or I'm done, you know, Jones. And I wanted to ask her, but, it's just a touchy subject. But it's like you could tell the demeanor of this person. She's not working to her potential or in her chosen field. Let's put it that way. Me, I'd be happy being a waiter. I know waiters that made buck. They made a lot of coin, and they didn't report it. But people are hurting. People are underemployed. People are unemployed. I've got some new friends right now. Their business is going under. They're out hustling just trying to collect on debts of people that promised to pay them and never did. That's how they're surviving now in this economy. Hey, remember 6 months ago we did blah, 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 blah for you? Yeah, you never paid us for that. Oh, really? We're going to have to talk to the girl in receiving. This economy is taking a fast flush down. And when they do that 1. Whatever trillion, when you get past a trillion, who cares? It's just ridiculous amounts of money. And they deflate the dollar coming up here. You know, Bongo's answer. Stimulate interest rates. Get, you know, nobody's borrowing even as low as they are. Folks, it's going to get ugly. I was looking at prices today. My leading economic indicator is how much stuff goes up that we eat. So 6 months ago, a can of Pringles potato chips, I don't eat them anymore. Now I'm the new Dutch Jones family slim down move. They used to be a dollar a can for Pringles everywhere we went. Today they were $1.68, $1.40. Yeah, they went up. Let's say they went up 40%. They went up 40%. A can of chili beans, used to be a dollar for the brand I have. Now they're $1.30. Went up 30% in the last 6 months. I've been logging it. Gas prices have gone up. Now, here, for a gallon of gas where we live, is was it $3.29? $3.01, but they were like $2.75 3 months ago. So that's, yeah, and it's like it's going up. Obama is too busy stimulating the India economy to deal with ours, Orland says. That's right. They ship their jobs overseas. Now they're going to destroy the money. People are always saying, well, they're going to come up with a one-world currency and a one-world government. It's already done, folks. The one-world currency is digital. They're going to come up with, and they're going to introduce this, the G20 is already talking about it, a digital currency. And they'll just, you know, they talked about it last month, remember? We'll make sure that everybody's economy is, you know, attenuated properly. The digital exchange rate will be the new economy. They're not going to call it a Bloomberg. They're not going to call it a Wiesenthal. It's just going to be a digital computer that decides what your money's worth. And they control it by printing. It's the hidden tax of printing money, inflation. And start watching what a loaf of bread costs. Start watching what oil costs. The two leading indicators, wheat and oil, wheat and oil, wheat and oil. For me, it's beans and Spam, and they've gone up too.
Oh, yeah, Spam's like
over three something a can, and that's it's in 6 months it's shot up. Bush's baked beans used to cost me about a dollar for the small can, $1.05, $1.10. Now they're like $1.78 for Bush's baked beans. And we go to the cheapest places you can imagine to buy food because we don't have a whole lot to buy food with. Rice is going up a little bit here. Maybe it's just California. I don't know what you guys are seeing. Maybe it's because our economy is the worst in the nation right now. But they're trying to get to us with these hidden taxes called inflation. And it's funny, food's going up, but the farmers aren't making any more money, are they?
No.
Farmers are hurting. Maybe it's that 500,000 acres that's laying fallow that made the price go up on cotton. I don't know. But we need to keep watching these things. Lindsey Williams was right. Lindsey Williams is right. It's not like he's dead. He's right. We need to watch for these indicators, and we need to start getting ready. You know, that's why I'm trying to get rid of my flab. I'm actually to the point where I'm like, okay, maybe we're in the brackets now. It's time for me to get off my butt and make this work. I'm talking about my knees, my spine. Felt good today, didn't it? Go out and spend several hundred dollars on long storage food, stuff that we can just, you know, that we can put in barrels and we can make sure. I know that we're not going to be hungry for several months. So my time can be spent on growing food, procuring fresh food, harvesting food, those types of things over the next 3 months. My mind won't be, oh, how do I feed my children? How do I feed my wife? What a great stress reliever that's going to be both now and then. It'll be the force multiplier will be 10 times. Okay, we're getting to the end here. I want to let you guys know that the Minuteman helped me out. What's that weekend that you're coming up? That's the 14th, Sunday the 14th of November. We're going to have a special open house training, open to anybody that wants to come. But here's the deal. You have to come to church at 10 a.m. at the Church of Cahuilla. You have to come to church. You have to chat with us. And then Minuteman and I are going to teach a class on movement, on security while moving. I don't care if it's in a vehicle or it's on foot. We're going to cover it all. So it's going to be pretty basic. But if you haven't experienced it before, it'll be good, or it'll be a good refresher. We're talking about patrolling interval. Because it's about, and Minuteman told me this today on the phone. It's November 20th. Thank you. Is it November 20th? Wow, man, my dates are bad. November 20th. November 20th. It's a Sunday afternoon. We're in the middle of California. You can go to dutchjones.info, find out where we're at. If you want to camp, let me know ahead of time. Call the show. You guys have the number. Email me at dutch@dutchjones.info. If you've got a big family and you're coming up, give us a call. We have some beds available in our guest houses. We got 1, 2, 3 guest houses. Now, I don't know if there's any beds in the other one. Two of them have got beds. Definitely one. If you want to sleep on my floor, like Chuck and what was it, the great Carlita, you can do that. We'll have handouts you can take with you. There'll be great fellowship. You'll get to see Lou and me fighting. Yeah, maybe. I'm just kidding. I don't know how I feel that day. By then, I should be good. November 21st is the Sunday class. That's what I'm talking about. See, I keep messing it up. Sunday's the 21st. Man, we need to get a big bulletin board here and write this stuff on it.
We had one.
We did. But no, right here. I need to put all the information right here. The 21st. The other class is a closed class, Minuteman. Even though it's airsoft, we're only limiting that to known militia members that we know. If you're a friend of the show and you want to come in for a one-day intense patrolling class at a state-of-the-art facility, it's not our facility. We're going to DFT, Defensive Firearm Training. It's $100, and we're going to find out if you have to rent an airsoft there. But we have our own, of course, because we're dedicated to the cause. Or if you have a broken one, like some people I know, you can maybe rent one. But that's the 20th. That's not open. You got to be screened for that. We have to do that from now on because we just had too many people show up that don't know what they're doing. And even though it's airsoft, we don't want to waste everybody's time teaching you hand signals and how to carry your weapon and fields of fire. You need to have a basic understanding. But the 21st is open to the public, where we do the classroom version of that. The classroom version on the 21st. And it will be taught by me and my good friend Minuteman. And folks, it's winding down here. I hope it was a good show. I hope you guys will tomorrow we'll think about William Cooper. Think about Milton William Cooper, man gunned down November 5th, 2001 for telling the truth. The show shouldn't have been about me. I didn't want it to be about me. I was hoping I'd get more participation. But that's the way it goes. So give us a call. Check us out. Go to the website. If you like what you're hearing, make a donation. We're trying to keep $500 a month coming in so we can get our own place. We're tired of mooching off other people, and we're tired of people calling the pastor complaining about us. If we're in our own structure, they got to deal with me. So, good night, everyone. Remember, the sword is heavy and the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone, and anyone that is the enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ, no king but King Jesus, is my enemy. Good night, sleep well, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
Prepare to defend yourself with the strength of a grizzly.
reflexes of a tutor and the wisdom of a man. Come down today for your free trial lesson.
Good night, y'all.